Welcome to the Coder Catch Up Podcast. My name is Jamie Jones, and today I thought we'd run through a bunch of very useful Ruby and or Rails gems. I'll probably put in Rails there as well, because some of these gems are Rails related, and I do use them pretty much on just Rails projects. But basically, I've got a gist up online that I use to reference some gems that I use quite often. So I thought I'd run through them and tell you why I use them and what they are. So we've got Devise. Now, just remembering that this is all mainly Rails-based projects that I'm using these on. So Devise is the authentication library of choice. There is Clearance, but I haven't actually used that. It looks pretty nice, though. But Devise is kind of the go-to, I think, for pretty much everyone in terms of authentication in a Rails application. You really don't want to be rolling your own. There's so many things that you have to worry about. And Devise is a really good starting point. I think it suits most projects kind of pretty much out of the box. So that's why I use that one. Then RSpec. Now, this is my go-to for testing. And I use that for doing integration or acceptance tests, as well as all my model unit tests, etc. Although on the last project, or current project I'm working on, we have been using Minitest, and it does have a test unit or a RSpec style, which is very similar, and it certainly is a lot quicker, and it's bundled in with Ruby since, I think, Ruby 1.9. So it's kind of there for free, and it's super simple. So check that out as well. I think it's a pretty awesome one. Definitely, if you're starting a new project, just leave Minitest in there and give it a go and see what you think. If you do come from RSpec, I'd probably recommend using the spec variation. So that gives you pretty much, it's nearly the same as RSpec. So you get your describe blocks, etc. I'm pretty sure you can do your before and afters. The only difference is it uses a must syntax, a must and won't to be exact. So instead of doing something like expect foo.to equal something, you do foo.must equal something, for example. So small changes in terms of language, but it's mostly the same, so it's an easy transition. Next is Capybara, which is in part with using the acceptance or integration tests, so we can find my way around, visit pages, click on things, etc. Then I use the PG gem. So Postgres is my database of choice these days, more so than MySQL and MySQL. Postgres is awesome, end of story. Then there's Unicorn, which is my favorite app server at the moment. I love Unicorn. I can do zero downtime deploys. Pretty simple to set up in terms of getting those zero downtime deploys to work. Yes, there is Fusion Passenger, but out of the box, like for free, they don't really give you rolling restarts, zero downtime deploy kind of things. You have to do have to pay a fair bit for that, and can't really bundle that into the cost for some of the clients. So using Unicorn, I have wanted to look at Puma, especially now that Heroku is actually recommending it. It does have a lot smaller memory footprint, so I will probably end up checking out Puma and potentially migrating to use Puma in future projects and maybe migrate some existing. But check that out yourself and see what you think. It looks pretty awesome. The next thing is LogRage. So this basically just keeps all the logs in check. I mean, if you watch those development logs, it's kind of crazy. Keeping those things in check is really, really important. And LogRage just handles it. Just install it and that's it, done. The next is Figaro. Now, I know Rails does have its own secrets file, but I still kind of like Figaro, at least for when I'm working with 12-factor kind of apps. So if you're using Heroku, Figaro is really good because it basically sets up environment variables per project, as well as you can actually deploy those environment variables to Heroku very easily. So I love using Figaro for that as a replacement, at least for those 12-factor apps. I mean, using the secrets is fine if you're deploying to your own little server, using Capistrano or something like that. Next is Bootstrap SaaS and Foundation or Foundation, depending on the project. Most of the time it's Bootstrap SaaS at the moment, but I am experimenting with Bourbon Neat on quite a number of projects and really, really loving it. Which brings me to my next one, Bourbon. I generally include that in some projects where I want just to use some of the mix-ins that the library gives me. It's pretty awesome. Thanks, ThoughtBot. The next thing is simple form. I'm pretty sure this should be just be a default in Rails. So like when you install a Rails gem, just use simple form instead of their built-in forms. Enough said. I mean, if you use simple form, you know all the benefits. It's an amazing form framework. Definitely use it. The next thing is quiet assets. So basically, if you're working in dev and you're looking through your dev logs, it's really hard to look through them. There's a lot of lines per request in terms of like a lot of information. Quiet assets just cleans it up, makes it a lot easier to read, and cuts out cruft that you really don't need to worry about most of the time. So it's really, really awesome there, and you can do some customization. The next two are really, really important, which is Breakman and Rails best practices. Now, Breakman, basically, I set this up, or both of these up, to run from a bin file that runs them. And it gives me a report, so I have it. So when I run this bin file, it checks all my code and then opens up a web browser with two tabs, one for the Breakman results and one for the Rails best practices results. And essentially, Breakman will tell me if I'm doing anything really, really malicious and scary that I need to fix, you know, so anything that could create cross-site scripting or any other vulnerabilities. Then Rails best practices just make sure I keep in line with what are best practices, obviously, by the name of the gem. Just making sure that there's certain little things like you might forget about that you should do, or there might be things that have changed. These gems I tend to install outside the gem file. I just gem install and gem update them as often as possible to make sure I'm getting all that latest and greatest. So really, really important. I think everyone should be using these on every single Rails project that they have. Next is the letter opener gem. I think there's another one out there now, but I really love letter opener gem. So basically in development, when I'm doing smoke tests and stuff like that, and I just want to play around and see how the functionality really, really works. Basically what it does is when you perform a sending of an email action, it will instead open up a new tab in your browser and show you the email there, and you can interact with that. Pretty sure you know interact with both the text and HTML versions too. You can switch between. The next is Sandy Meter. So this is based on Sandy Metz's rules, and basically it'll run through your code and give you a report on how well you're stacking up to those kind of rules or guides, as I like to say. Next is Capistrano. Enough said about that. If you're in the Ruby community, you'll know Capistrano is the ultimate deployment gem. It's pretty amazing what it can do. You can use it to deploy other things. It's not just Ruby. You can use it to deploy WordPress, Drupal, whatever. It's just a deployment tool to interact with your server. Super awesome. Just if you're not using it now, if you're using something else, have a look at it. There are other ways of deployment, but this seems to be a go-to for most Ruby and particular Rails developers if you're not using something like Heroku. Next is Prior Rails. So this is a gem that I use extensively. What it does is it updates your Rails console to have some nice stuff in it, but as well it lets you add in like breakpoints, so like a debugger in your code. There is the debugger gem for that, but I don't use that. I'm just used to using Prior. Probably should look at debugger. But basically, Prior Rails, or is it? No, it's Bybug, sorry. Bybug. Debugger was the old one. So Prior, I can just put in breakpoints in my code and see what variables are set and what's going on here and there if I need to. If my tests aren't picking something up, or I'm kind of stuck with my tests, like the result's not coming out right, I can actually just play with the code in place instead of running my test over and over again. Launchy is the next one, so that basically you can take a snapshot of your code, and that's pretty awesome. So basically bring up a HTML version of wherever your app is at in a certain point of code when you're executing a test. So that's what I like that. Now we have Factory Girl, which is kind of like the generates fake model data for you, generally used in your tests. So you can set up, say if you're creating, you wanted to test blog post functionality with comments, you could set up a factory for comments, a factory for blog posts, and you can actually talk to each other and generate test data really, really quickly. The next thing is email spec. So this is just an add-on to RSpec, which allows you to test your emails that are going out a lot easier. So I recommend that one highly. Faker, basically I use this on top of things like Factory Girl to generate fake things like fake email addresses, fake names, fake addresses, etc. just builds things up a lot nicer, as well as if you're doing seeding information in a seeds file for development. It's nice to use Faker to do that as well, just to enhance things a bit better and make it a bit real, more real. Next thing is Simple Cov. So basically this sits in with your testing. So when you do your test run, it updates the coverage and lets you know how well your code is covered, and it'll show you percentages, what lines aren't covered, etc. Highly recommend that one. Now another aspect add-on, which I should probably check it. I don't know if it does do with mini test or anything, but should have matches. So it just gives you some better expectations to test things like associations and things like that. Really, really nice. So check out the should have matches. Next is Haml Rails. So, you know, I used to just write the 4HTML and stuff like that, but Haml just saves me so much time. When we've got projects that are time restraint, it's a lot easier to write simple classes or IDs and not have to worry about all the tags and make sure I haven't missed a closing tag or anything like that. So it's all, you just literally do a class name, an ID, or you can do percent and the name of the element. And it's all indent-based, so it's all white space dependent. So it's kind of, if something's not right, it'll actually scream at you and tell you it's not right. So there's really, really good things there. So I really love Haml. If you're doing outside of this, there's Jade, which is very, very similar, which will do it on the front end, just in pure HTML. Next thing we have is Carrier Wave. Now, this is my go-to for image uploads. And generally, I bundle that in with using S3. So basically, when any uploads happen in the applications, it sends them straight onto S3 for me, as well as it can do some image resizing and creating thumbnails or various sizes that we use throughout the app. And that ties in with the NextGem Mini Magic. So this is kind of like a little image magic processing, a library, and it just makes things nice and easy. The next one, which actually isn't necessary, but database cleaner. So essentially, it just cleans out everything from the database after each test run. Now, I'm pretty sure it actually does this by default, like without database cleaner, your Rails app will do that. Someone was saying you don't actually need it, but I've just been using it, or at least I think in Rails 4, you don't need it. But I just use it now. It's just something I've become used to using. I might try it on the next project without it and see how that goes. The next one is Mailform. Now, if you want to create simple email or contact forms of some sort, this is really, really good. So it saves you having to set up a whole bunch of stuff. You basically just set up a model, and two controller actions is all you really need. And off you go, and that will send out nicely formatted contact emails. The next is Poltergeist, which is kind of my go-to for JavaScript testing within RSpec. And I've said, if you've got some JavaScript needs also testing in your app, you've got sprinkles of it, Poltergeist works perfect. Another gem I use, which is outside of my actual gem file, and that is Bundle Up Audit. So basically, I run this every so often to make sure that my gems, there's no security releases or anything like that that I need to be aware of. So basically, I run that in the project group, and it gives me a list of anything that I need to update, and to particular versions too. Well, actually, so if I'm on 0.3.4 or something, or 0.4.3, he'll actually go, okay, you can actually upgrade to 0.4.5 or something like that. It'll actually tell me the point version, which is really, really nice, so I don't have to worry about any breaking changes in case my test coverage has been bad for that particular gem. Next is Sitemap Generator. So this generates an XML sitemap. This is something that I got used to doing with WordPress and Drupal sites. It's generating a nice XML sitemap that various search engines can read from and get various information that you need for your quote-unquote SEO. And then it also will ping search engines when you add new data and stuff like that. Now, the next one for any sites that I'm doing internationalization is the i18n task gem. And basically, they'll check if there's any unused translations or translations that haven't been translated yet if you've got multiple languages. So that's a really good one. Then we have RuboCop and RubyCritic, and basically those will run through your code, make sure that everything's being done the same and is looking right. And then after that, we've got AutoPrefixer Rails. Now, AutoPrefixer, I recommend for anyone who's doing any front-end development, whether it's outside of Rails or not. It's a really simple tool to implement and will save you a lot of headaches. So essentially what it does is it does all your vendor prefixing for you. You just write whatever the standard is. So for example, box shadow, you do box dash shadow and whatever properties you want, and it will actually do the, like the WebKit version, the Mozilla version, Microsoft version, whatever versions are needed. Or Flexbox is probably a better one where there's multiple versions for different clients, as well as there's an older syntax, and it'll solve all that for you. You can specify how many browsers back you want to support, so you can just support the latest 2, latest 3, whatever. What's the config there? The next we have up is the Virtus gem. Now, this is one that I really, really love, and it helps me create form objects. So, say if we get a sign-up form that would normally we need to work with, say, a user's object and an account's object, this basically allows me to bundle that into a single object that I'll reference, say like sign-up form, I'll call it, and it will handle creating the user and the account, doing transactions and stuff like that for me. So this just helps with building those form objects, making it a bit quicker for me. The next one is Rhodey Rails. Now, if you're sending any kind of emails and you need to inline your CSS, Rhodey Rails is something I highly recommend. There is also Premailer, which you used to use, but Rhodey Rails just seems a bit nicer these days in terms of instead of using Premailer, but it's up to you, whatever you want to use. Then there's Awesome Print, which basically makes things print awesomely in your Rails console or IRB, Pry, etc. And it just, like say when you're looking at objects and stuff like that, it just makes it a lot more readable. Huge difference there. Next is Meta Request. So if you want to stay in your web browser and you want to check out requests like you would do in the network tab, or with, say, if you're using Ember, the Ember Inspector, or Batarang if you're doing Angular, this does essentially that in your console in the web browser, and it gives you all that information. Really, really nice there. Then the next one is the New Relic gem. Now, New Relic's awesome. If you really care about performance of your web application, you should be signed up and using a New Relic, even if it's just a free version. But definitely check out the paid versions. But the good thing about this gem is in development, you can visit /New Relic, and it'll give you stats, all interesting, amazing kind of stats for your Rails application, so you can fine-tune things there locally. It's really, really good. So even if you don't have a New Relic account, which you don't need for this gem to work, use that and try it out and see what you think. You'll probably be able to speed up some of your code and make things a lot more efficient. But that's it. These are kind of the general gems that I use on my projects. Not all of them at once, but certainly some of them, or most of them, on a lot of the larger projects I do. So what gems do you use? What do you find that's super useful or a must-have on your Rails project or Ruby projects? I'd love to know. Ping me at CodaCatchUp or leave a comment on this episode at CodaCatchUp.com, and I'll catch you in the next episode.